Well, have you ever had the occasion where someone has asked you to do something that you thought was totally impossible? I know that I have. And I know that that's something that is more common than we like to think. That's what we want to talk about for a little while this morning under the theme in our sermon series, Unmovable, staying the course no matter what hits you, as we look at the life of the Old Testament prophet Daniel. So your boss comes and says to you, I want this done and I want it done right now. And you think to yourself, how on earth am I ever going to do that? It's beyond my capabilities. It's, I want it done by Tuesday. And you think to yourself, in the next life, I don't know how it's going to happen. Or maybe you're dealing with things with issues of health or issues of relationship or issues with money. And all these things are beyond you. And you say, how am I ever going to get beyond this? How am I ever going to get back to square one? It seems nigh unto impossible. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Daniel, as we look at chapter 2, is faced with a similar test. And as you remember from the weeks gone by, that God will always test us before he blesses us. God will always test us before he blesses us to see if we have the capacity to handle the blessing that he's going to give us. And so in chapter 2 of that book, it says, in the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he had a recurring dream that frightened him so badly he couldn't sleep. Has that ever happened to you? A dream, a nightmare, you woke up and you couldn't get back to sleep? So he called in all of his magicians and psychics and fortune tellers and astrologers. Would you say he's superstitious or what? And the whole country was superstitious. And demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. So he brings the people in, all these people that are supposed to, all of his advisors, and he doesn't say, tell me the meaning of the dream. He says, well, I want to know, first of all, if you're really for real, tell me what I dreamed. And if you get that right, then you can tell me what the meaning of the dream is. Because if you can't tell me what I dreamed, you can make anything up about the meaning of the dream. And so they all freak out. No one anywhere has ever asked anybody to do something so impossible. It can't be done. It's impossible, but do it anyway. And that's what we want to talk about today. Well, of course, the advisors and the soothsayers couldn't do it. And so the king issued a decree, off with their head. All of them are going to go, including Daniel and his three buddies, who happened to be part in grooming, in training, to be part of the royal court. They were all going to die because they could not say the meaning or even give the what the dream was that King Nebuchadnezzar had. So Daniel decides to step forward. Either that or he's going to be killed anyway, so, I mean, let's give it a shot. And the process that Daniel goes through is a process that I've had to go through in my life, in my ministry, more than once, when I've been faced with, or our church, or our ministry has been faced with what seemed to be an impossible situation. Because we need to think, what are we going to do on that day when you're up against the wall and you're out of resources? And you have no answers. And what's being asked of you is impossible, humanly speaking. It happened to me more than you can count. But the one instance I want to probably share with you briefly this morning is back in the early 80s, a long time ago. And I was asked to be a troubleshooter or something, scapegoat, for a ministry that was going down the tubes pretty fast in Southern California. I was asked to come on board Los Angeles Lutheran High School that had recently moved its campus from Inglewood, in a predominantly black community, to Burbank, in a predominantly lily-white community, without bothering to tell the local churches that they were making the move. Furthermore, They had purchased 30 acres of prime real estate in Burbank and a land contract from the Missionary Sisters of No Mercy. And there was a balloon payment of $3.5 million due and payable when I arrived. And I didn't know what to do. All I knew is I was going to be taking courses and develop work to become a fundraiser. And then they made me superintendent of the high school. So I came on board with never having been a superintendent, never have been a fundraiser. I came into a situation that was, humanly speaking, impossible. The situation was so impossible that the only thing I was sure of, that is, if this school survived, and if I escape with only gray hair, that it would be a miracle. And yet, as I applied some of the lessons that I'm going to be sharing with you this morning, directly from the book of Daniel, I found that we have a God who can do the impossible. And that if we rely on Him in those matters and times when we seem that we can't go any further in life, He will do a miracle in our lives. So I invite you to go to your notes. I'm going to talk fast. We don't have much time. And I have 8 principles that I want you to take with you for that day when the impossibility of life hits you square in the face and you wonder how you're going to go on. The very first thing I read in the book of Daniel and I learned for myself was, don't panic. Because the very natural instinct in us when we're cratering and we don't have any more human resource available to us, our health is going astray, our finances are out of control, our relationships are falling apart, is for us to simply panic and get all emotional about it. But listen to Daniel in chapter 2, verse 14. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. Now, what allowed him to do that? What allowed him to do that was the fact that Daniel had nurtured his faith in solitude under the stars, back in the Judean hills, back when he was in Israel before the Babylonian captivity. He didn't wait until he was in the middle of the mire to try to get faith. He cultivated that faith ahead of time and relied on that faith at the time of his testing. And here he was, 17 years old, with the most powerful man at that time in the world telling him that he's going to be executed. Now, I don't know if I would have been like that. And I don't know what troubles you may be facing right now. I don't know how life is for you. But one thing we know, that the first thing we need to do is not to panic. The number two is ask why. Get all the facts you can. What's causing King Nebuchadnezzar to act like this? What's going on in his brain? And you learn he's scared to death. He's having the same nightmare night after night after night. He's fearful for his kingdom. He's fearful for his life. He wants to get some answers, and he doesn't know how. But that's what panic does. People get emotional, and when people get emotional, you can become the brunt of it. Things don't go well at work, and the spouse comes home, and you get all the brunt of it. Things don't go well in the church. People begin to put blame, the blame game, and point fingers at one another instead of directing it to God. They ask, what's going on here? And that's what happened to me when I came to Lutheran High. Little cliques were forming. And they were pointing fingers at one another. And they're saying, only if you would have only done this, or if you would have only done that. And all these cliques were forming, and it became a big festering mess. There was a racial issue because we had moved from Inglewood to Burbank. There was a financial issue because the balloon payment was due. They were all panicking. And so I had to get the facts. And Proverbs 23 says this, get the facts at any price. And so Daniel asked Arioch, the captain of the guard, Why has the king issued such a harsh decree? So Arioch told him all that had happened, and he learned what was going on. So number three, ask for time. Ask for time to create a solution. Here's what Daniel taught me. It's far more important to make the right decision than it is to make a quick decision. Wouldn't you agree? It's far more important to make a right decision than to make a quick decision. Listen, Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time so he could tell the king what the dream meant. You see those words? He went at once. He didn't procrastinate. And that takes some intestinal fortitude, doesn't it? Here you have a 17-year-old who's about to be assassinated, and he goes and immediately confronts the king. That wouldn't have been me if I were a teenager, I can tell you that. But he doesn't dawdle. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't delay. He doesn't postpone. He doesn't get distracted. He courageously faces the fear that's plaguing him. So what is the fear that's got you going today? What are you procrastinating over that needs getting done? What are you pretending in your marriage isn't an issue when all the time it's about Vesuvius ready to erupt? What in your life are you continuing to sweep under the carpet? And now there's a little mound forming on the carpet. And you keep sweeping and sweeping, and the mound gets bigger and bigger until that day you trip over it. Procrastination never solves anything. Go to the source, ask for some time, seek out a solution, and that's how things got resolved at Lutheran High. I boarded a plane, I flew to Chicago, I met with the missionary sisters, and I said, I think it's in both of our interests to give us a little time to get this thing resolved. And they agreed. Then number four, enlist prayer support with your friends. Then Daniel went home and told his three friends what had happened. And he said, pray that the God who rules the heavens will be merciful and explain this mystery so that we and the other advisors won't be put to death. You know, I love this about us. I love the fact that we pray. I love the fact that when I came here 10 years ago, you'd sing the song, when there is no way, God will make a way. And through these years and through our lives and through all the things that has happened during the intervening time, that prayer has been a constant. Last Wednesday, I had opportunity to meet with some of the people who were praying. They meet every Wednesday at noon, formally for a time of prayer in the church house, and I shared with them some personal prayer requests I had for myself and my family. Would you pray? You don't have to involve everybody, but would you just pray for me? And they prayed right then and there. And they're willing to pray for you. Do you have a prayer partner? Do you have somebody who's praying for you? Are you praying for others? Do you pray for me in my ministry and the mantle of responsibility we have here at Emmanuel? Are you in prayer over this church and God's wisdom to help us go beyond the impossible at Emmanuel? Are you in prayer? I invite you to have a prayer partner and make prayer central to your spiritual development. I knew that that's what was needed at Lutheran High. Instead of pointing fingers at one another, they needed to be pointing their fingers and their hands and their arms up to God in prayer. And so I invited the faculty to join me in prayer. And I invited the board to join me in prayer. And I went to every one of the churches that was part of the association. And I said, will you have a prayer group that will pray for this school? And I went to all the alumni. And I went to those that were delegates of the association. And will you be in prayer over this? And we blanketed and covered this whole ministry in prayer at that time. We sought out God's answer. We didn't know the answer, but we sought out His preferred future for that school. And so when the impossible looms before you, don't panic, but ask why. Give yourself a little time. Enlist prayer support. And then number five, and it's a big one, when you pray, expect God to give you supernatural help. I'm serious. He's going to give you supernatural help, the kind of help that's really needed, the kind of help that you can't get with any of your own resources, help that won't happen unless God makes it happen. When there is no way, God will make a way. When you're dead broke and bankruptcy looms, when you don't have a job and you desperately need one, when you're not smart enough, when you exhausted all human strength, there's a supernatural strength available to every one of us who is a Christian. Pray for it and ask God to deliver it to you, this supernatural help. And what happened next at Lutheran High was nothing short of a miracle. The word got out through prayer of our dire situation. And we began to get inquiries from the community. I began to get to know some of the people in Hollywood, like Pat Boone and Debbie Boone and Starsky and Hutch and Bob Hope. And I began to hang out with people like the supervisor Antonovich, who was an alumni for from our school, and Councilman Burnson, and even Mayor Bradley at the time. And I enlisted their support, and they formed a concourse, the Elegance Car Show, for all the community, and they had all their rich friends come. And then the Harlem Globetrotters came in, and they used our gymnasium for practice. And then we formed the Marriage Encounter. They used the facilities, our dormitories. And then we formed a thrift store. And by the end of the 7 years, we had the largest third source income of any Lutheran high school in America. It wasn't me. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But God gave resources to bear because he saw a ministry that was humbling on its knees in prayer. Shouldn't surprise us. God has told us in Jeremiah 33:3, and you want to mark that down? Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you. I'll show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. I want you to start thinking. What's the marvelous thing that God wants to do with your life yet? What is the one thing beyond your capacity? What is the one thing beyond this church's wildest dreams that God can do? Because he can do the impossible. Ask, it says in the Bible. Over 20 times in the New Testament is the word ask. A-S-K. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. A-S-K. Ask. It's not a request. It's a command. You have not because you ask not. But Daniel asked. He came and he prayed and he says, I can't figure this out on my own. And so he thanked God in advance for something that wasn't there yet. That's called faith. And then when he got the answer, he thanked God for the answer, and that's called gratitude. We need both in prayer. Faith. Gratitude. And then number six, he worshiped God. Daniel spent all night praying to God, and during the night, God revealed and explained the mystery of the dream to Daniel in a vision. Can you understand this? You're praying in the middle of the night. You're not sleeping at all, and you're praying. I said, I'm going to be killed tomorrow. Lord, help me. What are you going to do? And one minute, he had nothing in his cranium. And the next minute, he knew the dream. And he knew the meaning to the dream. He now knew more than anybody else in the whole world. And he had that information because God had put it there. And Daniel praised the God of heaven, it says in the Bible. He worshiped his God. Now you ask yourself, what is worship? What is worship? Worship is not having a certain number of people up here leading us. It's not having an old gray-haired man in a funny Hawaiian shirt up here. Worship is not having the songs of your choice or the hymnal of your preference. Worship simply is focusing on God. And if you're focusing on God, you're in the act of worship. And if you're not focusing on God, that's idolatry. You can worship God anywhere. You can worship Him in your car. You can worship Him when you go to the toilet. You can worship Him at Taco Bell. And if you go to Taco Bell, you'll go to the toilet. But here's where we collectively come to worship God, right here. And for me, that means that an hour, at least, I take the focus off my problems and put my entire focus on God. I stop focusing on what's scaring me, and I start focusing on what is going to heal me. I stop focusing on what's impossible, and I start focusing on who's immutable in my life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I praise God for who He is. I praise God for what He does, and I praise God for helping me. Number seven, then you use what God has showed you to help others. And that's exactly what Daniel did. He went to his three buddies and he says, I got it. I got it last night in my praying. The Lord revealed the dream and the meaning of the dream to me. And now let's call it off. Let's get to the king. I know how to do this. I've got it. Call off the execution. And that's our job. Our job is to call off the execution. Hell is hot and time is short, and we have to get out there and tell the people that there is a life beyond this life, and it's not another death, it is not an annihilation, it is a life beyond measure. Because God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to us, that in the midst of this brokenness, He found a way to restore us to heavenly glory. And it comes by faith, by God's grace, and faith through Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior. And if you have faith in Him, and if you believe He is the way, the truth, and the life, that we come to faith by Him, if we have that in our heart and we know that God so loved us that He gave us His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life, then we have been given an opportunity to share this with somebody else. That's our job. And that's why we have in our bulletin often on Sunday mornings the Luke 10:2 prayer. And so you don't have to pray it at 10:02. But the prayer is, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. And may we be one of them. Now maybe you're going to do it by what you say. Maybe you're going to do it by who you are and how you act. Maybe you're going to do it by an invitation. Get a chance to share with others that God is the God of the impossible. That God is the God of never too late. That God is the God of beginning again. And then finally, point people to God. And that's what goes on in Daniel. He says to the king, no wise man or psychic or fortune teller or astrologer can explain the mystery of your dream, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and He has chosen to show you, King Nebuchadnezzar, what's going to happen in the future. And then the king promoted Daniel to a high position and gave him many valuable gifts, and he made Daniel ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Here's the 17-year-old kid, and he's now mayor of Babylon. Can you get it? As we close in prayer this morning, ask yourself, what is so impossible in your life right now that you don't think there's ever a chance that anything is going to change? Ask yourself, what is that relationship that is so soured you procrastinated and never making it right again? Ask yourself, what is going on with all the health bills and all the end in sight of my life is going to be short? What's so impossible about having a stronger faith that looks toward heaven with joy? I don't know what your struggles are. Maybe it's struggles with your faith. Maybe it's struggles with morality. But I invite you now, in the next few moments, to take these struggles, these impossible situations, to the Lord with me in prayer. All these impossible problems that have been piling up. And you know they've been piling up. one after the other, year after year, and you've never resolved them, I invite you in our prayer time now to give them over to God and then to watch a miracle happen in your life. Let's rise and join together in prayer. Lord God, you not only know the problem I'm facing right now, but you know all my future, and it's all in your hands. So help me not to panic. Let me not be afraid. And like Daniel, when I face the problem, help me to learn all I can about it. Give me time so I can spend it talking to you and gaining prayer support from others. Then, Lord, when the problems come that seem overwhelming, help me to pray and to expect you to give supernatural help that I don't have. You said, call on me and I'll answer you. You promised you'll show me things I could never figure out on my own. So, like Daniel, I'm sorry that I have not always asked. I desperately need wisdom, and I'm asking you and I'm expecting you to give it to me. Help me to get my eyes off the problem that I'm facing and focus on you, to worship you. I want to thank you for all the times you've helped me in the past with gratitude. I want to thank you in faith for all the times you're going to help me and help us and help this church this week, in the future, when I go back to work, to school, in ministry. Lord, whatever you show me, I want to use to save others. I don't want to just save myself. Help me to point people to God at the workplace. Help me to point people to God in the marketplace. Help me to point people to God in the soccer field, at Starbucks, in the grocery store. Because, Lord, I know that if you see me caring about others, you just want to build that platform in my life even more. Use me to save others. Jesus Christ, I ask you to save me, not just from sin, not just from hell, but I ask you to save me to be who you made me to be. Save me from myself. Save me from my habits. Save me from my hang-ups and hurts. I pray this in the name that is above every name, your name, Lord Jesus, your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.